the latest news and the opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. The Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Provident Personal Credit.
Kia ora, g'day, and good evening. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One. Tonight we're talking all things rugby league. Now, the final game of the professional season is upon us this weekend, where New Zealand Kiwis will face off against the world's best. Yes, I say it with a lump in my throat. It's Australia in Wellington, New Zealand. Joining me in the studio tonight, we have the living legend, that is Rob Parker, who will be waxing lyrical with me tonight, along with tonight's studio guest. Yes, once again, it's the Earl of Rugby League, Leon Price. He's smirking as I say that, but he loves it secretly. Tonight we'll also be analysing England's performance over the Four Nations tournament, as well as discussing all of the sports hot topics. We'll also be hearing from England head coach Steve McNamara, Captain Sean O'Loughlin and Sam Tompkins. And one point we will be discussing is the hottest topic of all, which is, should Steve McNamara keep his job? So please give us your thoughts on this and share your views by getting in touch through the website at pulse1.co.uk or use Twitter and hashtag or tweet hashtag RHP Show. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show. News and views.
Good evening, gentlemen. Rob Parker, Leon Price in the studio. Round of applause for yourselves. Hercules, Hercules, Hercules. Welcome, gents. How are you feeling tonight?
All good, yeah, all good.
Yeah, same here. I think we've got a bit of a dream team going on now, haven't we?
This is the dream team. I'm starting to think.
Triple threat.
I've got to admit, probably Bro Ryan's not with us this evening, ladies and gentlemen. He's probably listening at home and dying a little bit inside. Just dying a little bit.
Well, I think he should, first of all, if he was here, I wanted to make sure that the listeners know that after last week's show, we got out and it was bonfire night. I had a party to get to, you know, get back over to the promised land of Lancashire and go and see my family. We had a party. And Bro Ryan, he had a flat tyre.
He had a screw
in his tyre, is probably the first time that's ever happened for him.
It is definitely.
Yeah.
Because he didn't know what to do.
Well, he didn't know which young man these days doesn't know how to change his tyre.
I thought when they're teaching you guys how to...
We said young man.
You don't know how to change your tyre?
Greg. Only thing I know in life is play rugby, and I'm not that good at that either anymore.
Well, just to make everyone aware.
We found the other man. Yeah. We found the other young man in Yorkshire that doesn't know how to change
his tyre. I went straight from school to playing rugby, and that's all I know.
Yeah, but you've had a car every
single
year.
Yeah, I know, but my dad used to change that for me. 16. If I had a flat tyre with my dad, well, Dad, come and change this. I'm in Leeds, come and change this.
I'm in London.
Come and change this.
I can't get a word in edgeways here. Everyone's buzzing.
No, we
ended up with me changing the tyre, producer Ewan taking a picture of me, then Ryan was actually just watching, and you was tweeting, taking a picture of Ewan taking a picture of me.
And I just drove off.
and Leon was
quickly drove off out the window saying, "Do you need a hand?"
See ya.
To my defence, I wasn't tweeting. I was managing a good manager,
directing,
making sure everything's done in the right way. And I got to admit, Ryan didn't have a clue. He didn't even know where his tyre was.
He didn't know where his tyre was. He didn't know where his jack was. He didn't know anything. So it was pitch black.
We ask him if he had any of that tyre well, just for a quick fix.
We asked him, did he have like a pump or anything like that?
And he said
nothing.
No.
So we got everything out. It took us about 40-50 minutes to start to fathom out how to do it, because it was pitch black. And then right at the very end, he had the kind of tyre men blow up punch repair kit.
He found it. Rob's covered in grease and oil and undercar muck from head to toe, and we found the tyre change kit and everything in it. So he owes you one.
He definitely owes me one, yeah.
The night after, didn't get much better for you. It was freezing that night. I think it was -2. You're stuck under Ryan's car. And then the next evening, what did you get up to?
Well, it's been documented on the show, and we brought Faye in a couple of weeks ago to talk about the sleep out with Centrepoint, which was to raise, you know, much-needed funds for...
And awareness.
And awareness, where I was coming onto it, for, you know, homeless 16 to 25-year-olds in the community. So as it's all good and well, you know, earning money and raising money, but the thing what they wanted to do is to sit over the day in the life of, so we actually slept rough at the stadium. You and I, we spooned. I don't know if we can see
it
smoke about that.
It was worse. You come out like 6:30 in the morning, and it literally 4 centimeters from my left ear, all I'm getting is. Oh, and I you know, when you're that cold and you don't want to move because any of the heat that you do have is trapped in the sleeping bag with you, I couldn't even reach my arm over to give him a slap to wake him up or get him at least to roll over. But actually, I had a little gift presented into my sleeping bag before I even got in it, because the club chairman Mark Green and Steve Ferris thought it'd be a good idea just to pop in and make sure everyone was doing right. They brought up some treats for everybody just to keep them energized throughout the evening. And when I went to get into bed, there was a gallery of people surrounding my, trying to do their best that they're not looking at me and waiting for me. So it went bing, I put my hand in. As soon as I put my hand in my sleeping bag, it didn't feel
there was,
right.
There was crisps, pepper, anything else that was crunchy or would really upset your beauty therapy kind
Steve
of.
Steve Ferris actually at one point wanted to pour alcohol, I think a pint of bitter into it. Now that wouldn't have got warm.
No. But you know, we've got to kind of make ourselves smile in these situations, and it's a bit of camaraderie.
At my expense.
Yeah, everything's at your expense. If it's not at your expense, it's at my expense. So it's nice to see how the other half live. But it was a really great evening, and it was hosted by some great people. We had bands, we had food given to us by My Lahore, and we even had our breakfast provided, which was nicely provided by Morrison's as well. So it was good. It did raise some awareness though.
Yeah, we're gonna run it again next year. So this time next year we're going to get involved. We're going to try and make it better. What was absolutely brilliant about the whole event, that we raised over £10,500 for the sleep out itself. Yep. So great fundraising event, and for a great cause also. Leon.
Yes.
Are you joining us next year?
Oh, well, it's a bit early to say that, yeah.
You grew up on those terraces.
I've not even played a game for Hull yet, so.
Yeah, but are you joining us in the sleep out?
Oh, in the sleep out?
In the sleep out.
All right, yeah.
Wake up, mate.
I'll do it, mate. Yeah, well, to be honest.
You grew up on those terraces.
I'll applaud you right here now. I think what you did was amazing, because I remember last Thursday, was it? How cold it was.
It was freezing.
Ridiculously freezingly cold it was. And I know that, I thought to myself, I'm so glad that I'm not one out there sleeping with
you
guys.
So you've said it now. We've all heard it here first, people. He's saying that he's going to join us in next year's sleep out.
I'll say it here now. I'll think about it. Yeah, definitely think about it.
You can contact my agent.
Leon, you're back into pre-season training over at Hull at the moment. Yeah. How are you doing? How are you feeling?
I'm absolutely dying. I mean, Monday we got absolutely smashed. Thursday was the first day. We had a 15-mile orienteering through the woods of Lincolnshire.
Now, I know you can't count. So how did you do? How did you work out?
15 miles. Myself at quarter to 10 in the morning, and we didn't stop running until quarter past 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah, but who was controlling the compass if you're doing
it? Liam Watts it was. But yeah, anyway, Monday we had full-on smashing wrestling and fitness and cardio and weights and more wrestling, and then Tuesday was the same, and pretty tired, to be honest. We've had a day off today, so I'm feeling a little bit better.
But we were talking about it on the way down here. I'm sure Rad is, because you've never been, other than that very first preseason you had as a first team player, and I remember that, you outstripped everyone doing everything. The physical conditioning side of the game was never your strong point.
No, it's never been something I've really enjoyed, to be honest with you. I just enjoyed rugby, but as I've got older, I've got no chance if I want to continue and to play well and to keep up a decent standard of rugby that I want to, you know,
keep those creaky
playing.
Joints moving.
Yeah, I've got to try and look after myself. So
Redders must have been happy.
It must be happier. I mean, I can't go there, can I, and turn up in bad shape first day of pre-season and just take it easy with my mate being there. You know, I've got a lot of respect for Adders and the whole club, and I want to go there and do well. So being 33 years of age, you've got to have a little, you know, look after
yourself.
You've
got a lot of responsibility on your shoulders.
A lot of responsibility, yeah, hell of a lot.
Do you feel like you are in a better position, you know, than you have been in some pre-seasons now?
Probably the best shape I've been back to any pre-season. But I didn't stop training for 6-7 weeks. I were off from my break. I stayed in Bradford. Didn't have a holiday and stayed training, so I've gone back in decent shape.
So, right. A lot of people think, oh, Leon's just come back over, you know, he's 33 years of age.
Yeah.
You've still got a lot to prove over
here,
haven't you?
You know, I've got a lot to prove to myself. You know, obviously there's a lot of people there that'll always doubt you. They doubt every, you know, but that's up to myself to prove them kind of people wrong.
I'll ask this question, though. I mean, I used to, you know how pre-season is. You know, especially when it gets dark and it's November and it's December and it's getting darker and darker, and the training sessions just pick up in intensity, don't they? It isn't until January they start to take the foot off the pedal, so to speak. I remember when I was getting to the back end of my career, I used to think to myself, like, oh, 30, 31. I thought, oh, I'll play to 133. I used to, what got me through training was, I used to say to myself, only two pre-seasons left. Yep. Only two. I can do this. We all did it. Yeah, you're all looking at me with nine eyes.
I was definitely on countdown. Once I knew that was it for me, you know, once I kind of called time on my career, and I could have kind of played on, but obviously I was playing at a lower level, it was like, all right, yeah, you know, I've had a decent career, and I've been fortunate enough to play with some great people and win some medals. And then I thought, oh, no pre-season. Do you know what I mean? Happy days.
I just think to myself, I've been this pre-season, in back of my mind, I've been thinking, well, I've done 17 pre-seasons before, they've never broke me before, so they're not going to break me again. Just keep on going, you know. It's at the time it seems hard.
Yeah.
But they never broke us, did they? They never got to a point where we couldn't do it.
Do you remember right back in the day, there used to be the call in the middle of the hardest.
They can't break us.
They can't break us.
That's it. And that's what you have to say to yourself. I just said, I've done a few before. They've not broke me yet, so just keep on going.
Well, there's so much for us to cover in the show tonight. Obviously, we're going to be looking back at the games of the Four Nations International. They were Samoa versus Australia and England versus New Zealand. So still loads to discuss on those matches. We'll also be hearing from England coach Steve McNamara, captain Sean O'Loughlin, and the Mercurial Sam Tompkins. So that's enough from the gang right here. Now you're listening to RHP on the Robbie Hunter Paul show here on the station with its finger on the pulse, Pulse 1.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Provident Personal Credit. The latest news and the opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. The Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Kia ora, West Yorkshire. Kia ora means hello in New Zealand Māori. Robbie Hunter Paul here, and you are with the dream team of Rob Parker, Leon Price, and yours truly. And we're talking rugby league every Wednesday here on Pulse 1. Now, remember, if you want to get in touch, throw us your thoughts on the England coaching job via email, and you can get it. The email address is pulse1.co.uk, or tweet us via Twitter at hashtag RHP show. Now, let's look back before we go any further forward. The two international matches over the course of the weekend. First we'll discuss is the Samoa comfortably beaten by Australia, 44 points to 18. England's was absolutely awesome. Now, you guys are surprised by that score. Knowing what we know about the Australians on home soil, how good they are, how good they can be, 44 points to 18. Are you surprised by that?
A little bit. You know, I think they were still quite close. I don't think necessarily that the scoreline gives a good reflection of the game, because Samoa were pretty in with it and looked real kind of physical as well. And let's be honest, Australia have underachieved so far this tournament. And, you know, obviously they got beat by your guys, very close with the England team. So, I think they kind of came into the strides when it matters, and that'll give them some good confidence. And as you know, confidence is key in this game. But Greg Inglis was by far the standout performer.
Yeah, well, you know, you look at the England match against Samoa earlier on. I think that England won by 4 points. I think, what was it, 16 points? Oh, no, 22-18. It was only 4 points winning it. Seems that long ago. We had a lot of knocks to the heads, ladies and gents. The New Zealand Samoa game, 14 points to 12. You know, there's only 2-4 points in that. Australia coming out and putting in a performance is a real statement of intent. 44 points to 18, showing their true colours. Greg Inglis performed from the first minute. Against England, he only came into the game in the second half. He's going to be crucial to their success in the final this weekend, isn't he?
He is, yeah. I think, a statement of intent, but I think by the ferociousness of the two first games that Samoa have faced with New Zealand and England, and how close they were, I think that pretty much says where they're at. But then to do it for three games, and it was the back end of the third game where they fell away, I think they've really come into their own and you know, how do you actually drop them now and put Scotland in there?
I mean, Leon, you've played against the Australians so many times. Tournaments that you've played in, you've seen them start slow, but they've got it right when they needed to.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if there's one word that you could give for Australia, the Australian rugby team will be ruthless. No matter how they're playing, no matter how many players they have out, how many players have selected new caps or whoever is in the team, they always seem to know to get the job done. No matter how much pressure they're under, they always find a way to get a result, and I think that's just through years and years of breeding a winning team, winning players, a winning culture.
All right, well, it's going to be an interesting matchup this weekend in Wellington against New Zealand Kiwis in the final. I'm thinking maybe that the outcome of that game may have just tipped the odds back in Australia's favour, other than actually being on away soil, being in New Zealand's backyard. So let's look now at the England. How do you guys think England's performed over the course of the whole tournament?
I think, do you know what? I know they've lost the games and they've only, you know, won against Samoa. But I like the brand of rugby that they have played.
I agree.
They've created some chances. All right, you know, we're talking about, you know, once again, Ryan Hall's fingernails and, you know, different things like that. But they've been in a position to win those games and played a nice brand of rugby whilst doing that. So maybe there is just a little bit of clinical finishing, and maybe, you know, echoing what Leon said there about Australia, the ruthlessness of how to play. But you saw a lot of passion in the England team.
Passion's always going to be there, but it's the finishing.
But has it always been there though in England over the years?
Well, I can't answer that question. You guys are
from West Yorkshire, pal.
Been within the fold.
I don't think passion's ever been a problem. It's been a togetherness that's been the problem.
I probably agree with that actually. Yeah.
Togetherness. So they haven't played as a unified group.
Playing for your country and being proud to play for England and Great Britain has never been a problem with the team. I think it's being together as one unit and putting the cliques to one side, putting the Leeds, the Bradford, the Saints, the Wigan, that kind of cliques, putting them behind you. That's been the problem.
And for those of us that have played at their level, which everybody has in this room right now, except for producer
Ewan. Sorry, Ewan.
Mate, you're just a spare wheel. You'd agree with me then that you'd say that is the recipe for success.
Yeah, that's what they've tried to get. That's what they've tried to change with having Steve McNamara for a coach for so long, is to change the cliques between the players to all integrate together and to come together as one team rather than being a nation of individual clubs, if you like. And I think that's the reason why Steve Max, like I said last week, has kept his job for so long.
I got to admit, though, I think, and I said this when we were on the panel, on the television show, on the weekend, I said that I believe that they're going to change the style of rugby league across the world. And the reason why I said that was that interpassing between the big donkeys in the middle, you don't see it anywhere else. The Burgess boys do it. James Graham does it. Kids at home now are watching what they're doing, and coaches now thinking that's why they're successful, because even though they may not be making a break every single time, what they're getting is a one-on-one. And if you just hit the ball up, just a single tank going up, and you don't even look like you can pass, you got the ball tucked under your wing, you fall prey to getting pack tackled, don't you?
I agree with 100%. I think that's definitely the case, how the game is going to change and evolve. And if you go back to the Bulls days when we were at our best, we never passed the ball. Our forwards didn't pass the ball at all. We didn't need to know. But then I remember coming, we had in 2005, I think it was, we had Adrian Mahler, and we were playing against St. Helens, and we were playing against a young James Graham, and I remember him passing the ball at me, so I was thinking, who's this prop forward, and why is he passing ball so much?
Yeah, he's soft.
Take the ball in, what's up with him? And now, if you look at the way he's evolved the game so much, and in the way that he plays the game. And like you say, I think everybody else will take note, kids will take note, and already the NRL teams are taking note. And like you say, the game's changing.
A lot of the space that was created for England, which kept both Australia and New Zealand and Samoa on the back foot, was created with that interpassing with the big boys in the middle of the park.
I think the stereotypical prop forward has changed now. They were the biggest, and they probably still are the biggest, but you know, prop forwards now, you know, and to be honest, the key one who was back in the day was Joe Vergara. You know, he could pass, he was a standoff.
We didn't get him to pass enough, but I think the other
people around him needed to help
him. We saw him in training more than what he did in a game. We should have used him probably more in a game, but I think for me, I think James Graham is obviously one of my really, really good mates, and I think he's kind of changed the game, especially in the NRL, the way that he plays a game and he passes. You never know what he's going to do. Extra standoff, as well as somebody who does set the ball in.
Now, we saw England be so dominant for so long in both the games against New Zealand and Australia. What is it that they're missing then?
I just think maybe some composure. As we saw in the back end of the New Zealand game, and, you know, we look at it, and I know it was highlighted on telly, and you know, it was a little bit of hot potato. Everyone was passing it around towards the dying minutes. They probably did lose a little bit of composure. It pains me to say it, but it was James Graham that, to be fair, put a good kick in, didn't he? But again, that's another string to his bow. But on the flip side of that, there was some space outside.
Yeah, there
him.
Was a 5-on-4, but the four defenders from New Zealand were stood. Behind the other two.
There was a good distance as well. So just some probably composure and knowing someone to get them around the field. But that's going to come with time.
Yeah, do you think they're the finished article as a setup? I mean, if you look at the Kiwi teams, like I'm looking at the halves. The Kiwis have Sean Johnson. The Aussies have Ben Hunt, Daly Cherry-Evans. They've got Jonathan Thurston. They've got these guys that can do something on a dime at... the spine of the teams are really exciting for England especially. So if you ever look at Daryl Clark, who I think has proved himself as an out-and-out international player, you got Sam Tomkins at the back. Do you think Gareth Widdop and Matty Smith are the answer to England's issues as that spine of the team? We know that the Burgess boys, James Graham, Hill, they're going to set that platform for them to play off. Do you think there's enough in the armoury to capitalise on it?
I agree. I think there's some longevity in that team, and it's about kind of, you know, we're making it into a club now. You know, England is now a club mentality, and they've got that spine and structure. Maybe there's a position for, I know it would get too controversial, for a person like Danny Brough.
At the same time, you've got to look as well. Widdop's been playing in an RL all season, and he's been one of the standout players for St George this season. So he's proven in the NRL against the best teams, the best players week in, week out. To go that with Smith, who's a good organiser and got a good kicking game, I don't think it's a bad combination.
I don't think it's a bad combination.
Widdop's proven a good player.
I think we just need a little bit of someone who's a game changer. For example, like a Lee Breers of old, who could just go off in his own little world, in his own bubble, and pull something out of nothing. And I think maybe Stephen Ratchford could do that.
All right, okay. Actually, that's a good point to bring up. And stick with us, ladies and gentlemen, because we're going to come back to this. Obviously, loads to talk about with England Rugby League, and we'll be discussing all of the hot topics from the world of rugby league, including the incident with Josh Hodgson following a night out down under. All that and more coming soon, so stay tuned.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Provident Personal Credit. The latest news and the opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. The Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Kia ora, West Yorkshire. Robbie Hunter Paul here. In this section of the show, we're going to be keeping the spotlight on England and on the England international team. But first, let's hear from England captain Sean O'Loughlin, Sam Tomkins, and head coach Steve McNamara.
This group is an unbelievable group. You know, the things they've had to overcome on this tour, you know. Super League Grand Finals a week after the NRL one. We had very limited time to get ready. A couple of new hookers, a new scrum half, you know, lots of new players making debuts. To come together and beat what has been proven to be a very tough Samoan side in extreme conditions was as good as, you know, New Zealand and Australia, let me tell you, because that was a good start to the competition. And then to put in back-to-back, very, very good performances. I couldn't be prouder of the players. I'm just really disappointed for their pair, so that they don't get a chance to play the final next week.
Massive effort from the boys, but just come short again. Disappointing. We was desperate to get a win today, but we didn't quite work well. We talked about trying to get ourselves in front, just going for a win, and then pushing the play a little bit more towards the end of the game, but we didn't quite get ourselves in that dominant position where we control the game. It was end to end, they scored a couple of tries. Maybe they shouldn't have done it. It put a lot of pressure on us to get over the line and to chase that margin. So it was always going to be tough, but for the boys' effort was phenomenal today, as it was against Australia. But ultimately, disappointing result-wise.
We're not going to complain. The Kiwis played pretty well at times. So you know, I think we were two evenly matched sides, and it genuinely could have gone either way.
I think we saw, well, we heard a little bit of confidence from the England team, but there was also some disappointment from the England boys there. You know, we've just been discussing a few of the individuals within, and we've just had a tweet through from James Fairbank, and he says, great effort from the boys down under, but why isn't Bruffy in the England shirt? Now, we discussed, that name was brought up just before we went to the break. It was quite interesting. During the game against New Zealand, Steve McNamara only put Daryl Clark, the only out-and-out hooker, in the 17-man lineup. Josh Hodgson was dropped for the game itself, and actually found it in the back end of the first half when Daryl Clark went off for a rest. Brett Ferris, who's a wide running back rower, who's 6'3", ended up playing hooker just for a small stint. You know, from the panel, good idea, bad idea. Obviously, they still had Stephan Ratchford, who didn't make any of the playing squads up until this point.
I think it was a poor selection, probably the worst one that Steve's made throughout the tournament, and that probably will be highlighted now. I think, you know, the Danny Brough situation, you know, how old's Danny now? Is he
29?
Is that all right? Okay, yeah. I thought he was a little bit older than 29, but you know, the squad that is assembled and that went is the future of our international game. So maybe that you could argue for and against, but I think with Darrell Clarke, you know, kind of the only an out and out hooker, Darrell's had a great, you know, international tournament, and probably because he's done so well coming off the bench, that's then warranted him an 80 minute spot or potentially the only hooker. Now that's played against him. Darrell Clarke's key, you know, selling point and his big strength is coming off or coming on the field when everyone's tired, those big Kiwis as well getting heavy legged, zipping up around him and making some breaks. So
he did look good when he jumped out Erkin Hart.
Yeah, massively.
And I'm just going to jump a little ship a little bit and try and answer the question that the fella tweeted in, but yeah, Brough is 31, and in my opinion, he should have been in the squad. He should have been in the team last year. It was Man of Steel 2 seasons ago, and in my opinion, I'm a standoff, and he plays six. He's one of the most, you know, talented, one of the best kickers.
You know, when you play against him, Leon, is he one of the players that you in a sense fear because he can do something on his own?
Yeah, I've known him players over the years. I've grown to respect a little bit.
Yeah,
because
I'd agree with
because
that.
Because he's grown as a player and he's come to lead his team up to to win the Super League Shield, and he's really matured as a player. And I think he's something that England lack. Something he can just pull something out of nothing, just like we mentioned about Lee Breers, that kind of player that just comes up with something out of nothing, and to leave him out of the team over the last 2 seasons, I think it's been quite silly, really.
I think Danny Brough's biggest thing, he's not afraid to take the line on. He's not afraid to think outside the box, to go to the line against those big lads and put some footwork on. Maybe he reminds me of a young Robbie Paul. I sound like Louis Walsh.
Very young. Remind
me of a young Robbie Paul. I always do an accent each week, don't I? But yeah, I think, you know, Danny Brough maybe warranted a place, but I think Stephen Ratchford should have got on the bench.
I agree with that. Because, that'd have been a good move, I think.
Yeah, definitely. It would have kind of, you know, brought him in slowly. I know he was against probably potentially the best team in the world, but he'd have come off the bench, no pressure would have been on him, and to be honest, Steph can play winger, centre, scrum half, stand-off.
He's such a wide variety of positions.
He would have been my kind of utility.
And if it don't work out, you bring him off and you put Clarke back on.
Exactly, so worst case scenario, you give Clarke 10 minutes, so hindsight's a wonderful thing, but I definitely think that would have been how I would have gone about it. And it seems that Leon, agrees as well. And we're even getting a couple of nods from Robbie Paul, so that or he's tired.
I'm nodding off, eh? We obviously know also about the Josh Hodgson incident down under, and it was under the spotlight following a video on social media seeing him smash through a door in some university dorms in Dunedin later that evening. So I don't know if Steve had the foresight to know that he was going to get up to some mischief. He's joining Canberra next year for the 2015 season. A couple of notes were brought out from the England Rugby League saying that they were dealing with the incident internally, and the CEO, Don Ferner, for the Canberra Raiders saying...
An internal door? Or internally?
Well, internally, I'll leave it with you. The CEO, Don Ferner, for Canberra, says that Josh will be getting a talking to. Have you seen the video?
Yes.
I'm not seeing the video, but I've heard about it.
I'm making joke of it and I'm making light of it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, look, the game's changed, hasn't it?
It's a good job they didn't have camera phones back in the day when
back
we all played. He's made a bit of a faux pas, hasn't he? You know, he's made a bit of a bad judgment of error. He's probably frustrated because he didn't get in. He wanted to be part of the team and he's gone out and he's had a beer. All right, you know, he's not done anything illegal to a degree. All right, maybe we could kind of throw
it. I reckon that's pretty illegal.
Yeah.
Maybe
I'll retract on that. But he's not hurt anyone. That, you know, he'll probably learn a lesson. We've all made mistakes. As long as he learns from it, just let me have my day.
I tell you this. You know what's disappointed me the most?
Yeah.
Is obviously, the whole world has seen that.
Yeah.
And the whole world must think New Zealand carpenters are crap. They can't even make a door. Look at their doors are like paper.
Yeah,
it's one of them things, isn't it? Like us as rugby league boys and get played again for a long time, we sit and would laugh and go, oh, blooming hell, we've seen far, far worse than that. But it's the day, the age that we're playing now, everything's under the scrutiny, the spotlight, there's video phones everywhere you go. You've just got to be so careful. At the end of the day, you're representing England, you're representing your country, and people want you to mess up, don't they?
Yeah.
So as much as we think it's not too bad, I can understand from an England and a Canberra point of view, they don't want that kind of image put on the web, you know, on YouTube, and yeah, it's just one of them things that it's not for us. It's not too bad, but for the clubs, they don't want that kind of thing on the website.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. You know, it's done. He's made a mistake. To be honest, let's make a bit of tongue in cheek about it now. Canberra need to go and get a player sponsor for Josh Hodgson for a door company. Yeah. That's what I'd be
exactly.
doing. If I was, you know, if he was coming to us as a player, I'd have gone straight to Coral with the doors and windows and made sure they were the sponsor.
It is interesting the way you put it, because obviously as players we saw our own sort of draft of tomfoolery, so to speak. Quite interestingly now, Rob, you and I find ourselves as sports administrators, so to speak. So we're now up in the offices. So we're doing our utmost to try and protect the brand, so to speak. And I actually had to sleep
out. But we're hypocrites now, aren't we?
Yeah. we've effectively, I mean, the other night I think we had about 30 players in the sleep out last Thursday night, and one of the boys lit off a thunderclapper, a firecracker.
Yep.
Now, it was 1 o'clock in the morning. So me, CEO head on, I'm now going looking for who's letting that off, to, you know, waking up our neighbours. All of a sudden, when I walked into the group, you know, walked out the back where all the players were, the 19's disappeared. You know, the 19's, here comes the CEO, run off. The first team, they saw a couple of them that stood there with a real sheepish look on their faces. But it dawned on me. I'd become the fun police.
Yeah, you are the fun prevention officer now. But can I just add, obviously, I know you know the role that I'm with at the club. Did it cross your mind that you thought it still might have been me messing about?
Well, that was my first thought. I thought, what's Rob up to now? I've got this brilliant video of you having a dance in the middle of the road, under freezing, not in the middle of the road, sorry, in the middle of the...
in the middle of the stadium,
dropping
just having
some
a
shapes.
Joke. Yeah, I can still throw them. back still seized up a little bit night after. But, I mean, we're here to have fun. You know, we do a job we enjoy, so we don't do a day's work yet. And it is great. Maybe I don't anyway then. But I think, you know, that players are always going to test boundaries. You put rules in place, players are going to break them, or they're going to try to break them. They're going to find a way to get around those rules, because that's what they're like as players when they take to the field. They've got to find a way to get past those players.
Now, you're right. Now bringing up players that are used to breaking the rules, or have ever had a track record of breaking the rules. Yeah. One of the other hot topics this week, and I'm going to throw this back to you, Leon.
What's somebody who breaks rules?
Sean Long expected to return to St. Helens.
Yeah, I'm not sports Long for a while, but I would have thought that this is probably 100% correct. I know he's St. Helens through and through. I know he's really, really close with Kieran Cunningham, so close with Eamon McManus, the chairman. So I know that within the game, Long is regarded as a very, very tactical technician, and in my career, if I'm being honest, Stuart, I probably learned more from Long than I did from anybody else. So rugby wise he's probably one of the smartest people I've come across, and it wouldn't surprise me at all.
I think it'd be a good move to bring Longy in. I think we spoke about, you know, he was one of those players that if Longy was still playing now, he'd have been in that squad, wouldn't he? Because he's got that X factor. I think with his relationship with Kieran and how comfortable he feels, and I think, am I right in thinking Eddie Gardner's even coming now to conditioner? So there's that old guard now, you know, coming back into Saints. So
what they've got is they've got a group now of fully vilified winners, guys that know how to win.
100%.
And that's the culture of the club as well.
And we'll impress that upon the next generation of players coming through.
So it's a smart move.
All right, coming up next, we'll continue to focus the spotlight on the Four Nation Internationals, and we'll be sharing your reaction to the Steve Mack incident in regards to coaching England, that scenario. Don't go anywhere. You're the Robbie Hunter-Paul on Pulse 1.
The Robbie Hunter-Paul Show with Provident Personal Credit. On 97.5 and 102.5 FM, DAB, and online at pulse1.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show here on Pulse 1. Probably the hottest topic in rugby league right now is the international coaching job, the England international coaching job. And that major question, should Steve McNamara keep his job? Now, it's a hot topic. All of the big trade mags and everyone's talking about it over across the airways and on TV. I want to throw this question over to the boys on the panel.
I'll answer this one first here, Rob. I think I'm friends with Steve, as we all are. We've all played with him, and obviously we respect him as a friend. But as it comes to it, if you want to analyse it, I think the game is based on results. And as an England team, in my opinion, it should be picked on form and it should be judged on results. And if we look at the team that that has been picked over the years, it's not always players that have been picked on form and we've not had the results. So that answers your question for me.
I
don't think he's actually said it. He's alluded to it, but because of his relationship with the international coach.
I just think, in my opinion, I think
he's still waiting for a call. That's what it is.
I'm still waiting for that call.
Let it go.
Can't believe they're not picking this year. Get him sacked.
We're talking about Danny Brough and everything. We've got England's answer sat here next to us.
Too old. No, but I'm speaking from a neutral point of view. I think it's kind of the results have not been good for us in the end. Up, we might have been good performances, but we've not got the results. And there's some players.
Is there not an argument to say that those performances and that strength and their confidence has been growing? Now, yous were both involved with a Bradford Bulls team that had to learn how to win. As a unit, we needed to learn how to win. Remember, the Bulls were a powerhouse in the game from 1996. Did win the Super League when it was first past the post in 1997. But it wasn't until 2000 that we cracked the nut. And we went on, and that nucleus of that squad came together and started growing, and that culture of winning and the expectation, et cetera, et cetera. Now, if you put that into the same timeline, then actually over the next year or two is when England should be winning. What are your thoughts? I've tried to throw a grenade into the middle of that.
Yeah, you've thrown it and thrown it well. I think winning's a habit, and when as is losing's a habit as well. And for me, I think tactically, Steve's a good coach. I know we kind of just ripped him apart a little bit with, for example, with the one hooker situation. But Steve is a good coach tactically, and he has created a club atmosphere and a club ethos and all the other buzzwords that we can use around it in the international scene.
You would argue that he's also got a scientific approach to it as well. He's had the boys training down at Loughborough University.
Yep.
The approach has been almost Australian-esque. I know when the Australians were really becoming a real powerhouse in the game, a lot of the information that they were using and technology was coming straight out of the Australian Institute of Sport, which is kind of what Loughborough University is in an English context.
No, I'd agree with you that, and we all know the game's changed and the coaches have, it's a lot of it's done on computers and there's, GPS, or it's all about nutrition and everything like that. Sports science is huge. Does Steve McNamara lack a bit of dirtiness in him, a bit of kind of aggression?
Mongrel.
Yeah, a bit of mongrel, because, when you see Tim Sheen speak, he gets filthy. And maybe, Steve McNamara does like to be diplomatic and sit on the fence, but I want to see him really kind of emotive.
As a player, I remember playing with Steve, and he was very analytical and he was very reserved in what he said.
Yeah.
But every now and again, someone will push him too far.
Yeah, it's like...
And he would bite back, man. He would bite
real
hard.
And that's what I want to see. I want to see a bite. If you remember last year when there was a lot of controversy, about, some players who kind of, was out of the squad for discipline, breaches. Yep. He didn't want to speak about that. And he kind of... I don't want to... we all know him and that. But I thought he reacted in the wrong way.
He upset the media as well.
He did upset the media. But sometimes you've got to take it on the chin and give as good as you get back, where... It just seemed a bit submissive in my eyes.
I guess to a certain extent he could have rolled with the punches a little bit and made a little bit more tongue-in-cheek. But you guys know as well as I do what us in the media are like. It can be very ruthless and create a lot of pressure.
You're the worst.
Why would you say
that? Yeah, you used to be one of us, mate. You're one of them now.
Now, looking forward, there's obviously 2015 Kiwis Tour next season. There's a 2016 Four Nations after that, and obviously there's a 2017 World Cup. If the RFL have already pushed their boat out saying, no matter what, Steve McNamara's got their confidence, he's got their backing, so he's going to be in there for the next, for at least the next year. Where is the cutoff point?
Does Steve want it?
I think,
let's first and foremost ask Steve McNamara. They either need to say, do you want to, they need to be thinking about the next year, the next World Cup. Right, that you can't be thinking year on year on year on year. You've got to think of the big picture. You need to say, are you into this for a three, four, five-year kind of, reign? If he says no, then, that's no bad reflection on him, but it's not where I think they need to be.
How long would you say then could we keep on losing but keep on keeping the course.
Well, I think there's one year.
Do they have to win? Does he have to win that series against New Zealand next year?
100%.
Three test series.
Well, I heard that he had to win, at least get him to the final this time, and that's not happened.
Mm.
So what do we do? Keep on pointing it back here?
Well, what would you do?
I don't know. I'm just asking questions. It's easy for me, isn't it?
I mean, to be honest, I think the amount of attention that it's had, not making the final this year, I think the ultimate test for Steve is going to be the 2015 Kiwis tour. I think.
And let's remember, come on, man, Australia are half the team out. If we're not going to beat them this time in their own backyard with Thurston and all Billy Slater and all them guys missing, it's probably one of his best chances that we've ever had to get in a final with Jammer playing in Australia, with Tompkins playing now, with Burgess twins playing down there, with McNamara coaching in the NRL. We had a big chance this year getting down there, and I think that's what's disappointing more than anything.
Well, actually, though, in saying that, because there's been that there has been a continual improvement, though, I believe, in the squad. I agree with you. If Steve wasn't successful next year, and obviously he's got players within his ranks, and we're talking about Sean Wayne last week, but actually someone who's been within their Wigan system, and Paul Deacon is one of the assistants, could he not be then maybe suggested forward for that international coach?
Why not? But sometimes a change is as good as anything, yeah. Why not?
Yeah, I think, you know, Dix has got it in his game and there is a structure. But again, do we get too club-fied with it? Yeah. Wigan, Saints, that could then be controversial. So I'm a bit sitting on the fence on that one as well, Rob.
Be a bit neutral. Obviously, a massive game for New Zealand and Australia coming up this weekend. That's the final of the Four Nations. Well, actually, boys, that's it for us this weekend. This week.
We need another hour, I think. I've loads more to talk about.
I just love talking.
So that's it this week. My thanks to Steve Mac, Sean O'Loughlin and Sam Tompkins. The dream team is Leon Price, Robert Russell Parker, and to all of you for listening tonight. Make sure you're with us next Wednesday. Total Access is next here on Pulse One. I'm Robbie Hunter Paul. Thanks for listening. See you next week.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One. The Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Provident Personal Credits.